I'm going to bring Mark to stage.
Okay, guys. Welcome to the ECDev Network on IEDC Week. My name's Dan Taylor, and I am co-host with the tardy but interesting Bob Menhas and the ever-present Lara Fritz. And we have a great show today. I'm the economic development catalyst for the town of Innisfil, often a walking clubhouser, so you will hear outside noises when my mic is on. And I'm also a strategic advisor and guide to those in the profession, which basically means I help them with their personal and professional performance, and more importantly, with their economic development work. Bob, why don't I hand it over to you?
Thank you, Dan. And again, I apologize about my tardiness. Would you or Lara be able to make me a moderator, if that's okay? And while that's happening, welcome everybody. Oh, my screen just changed. I love it. Thank you. Welcome everybody to the Economic Development ECDev Network. I'm Bob Menhas. I'm one of the co-hosts for today, along with Dan Taylor, who you heard from, and Lara Fritz, who I'm going to ask to introduce herself very shortly. I'm really excited to have all of you here today as we celebrate IEDC Week. And we've got topics to discuss all week. And today, we're really going to be chatting about reviving and repurposing retail spaces. And we're focused on the arts, because my guest today, Lisa, has actually run a program related to the arts community. So we're going to talk about the program she worked on, some of her findings, just really the sense of what it could look like in your community based on the work, amazing work, that Lisa's already done. So if you are new here, thank you for being here. On the top of your screen, you're going to see the economic development name. You'll see a green Monopoly looking house. If you click that, that will allow you to follow us so that you can stay abreast of future events that are happening, things that are going on, such and such and such. If you also, for those who aren't aware, we do record our sessions. So today is being recorded. Dan is amazing at re-leveraging what we share here as a podcast for those who couldn't attend live. And it's really great for them to be able to stay in touch in the future there as well. For our friends, we have no one in the audience. All of our friends are on stage, so that's great. But so our friends on stage who have not been here for a while, on the bottom of your screen, you're going to have two key buttons. One of them you're not going to use because you're on screen, but I'll let you know anyway. It's a hand over a paper looking icon. That's about raising your hand to come to the stage. So if you get pushed back into the audience, press that button, and that allows myself, Dan, or Lara to bring you back on stage. Which puts your mic live, so you can participate in the conversation, ask questions, provide some thoughts. The only thing we ask is if you are participating when you're done, please do try and sign off. For example, my name is Bob and I'm done speaking. That allows other people to know when they can sort of tune in with their comments as well. And it actually acts as a pretty cool accessibility tool for those who listen to us on other devices to the event outside of Clubhouse as well. On the other side, you'll see a plus icon. This is instrumental in your experience today. If you love this topic, if you know a coworker, a friend, a colleague, maybe that person in high school that was the long lost love of your life, invite them, use that plus sign and have them join in the conversation as well. The more you invite, the more conversation we can create. And that's what these rooms are all about. We really want to create conversations and chats and help people sort of learn more about what they can apply to their economic development community. If you, again, haven't been here for a while, make sure you look on stage, make sure you follow everyone that you see here. Everyone here is a knowledge leader in something that they do. So click that follow button because they might show up somewhere else on Clubhouse and you want to be able to stay in touch and get notified when they're doing that. With that, I would love to hand it over to Lara to introduce herself. And then Lara, I'll take it back when you're done and introduce Lisa.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, Bob and Dan. It's always such a pleasure to share the stage with you. And I'm Lara Fritz. I'm a community vitality champion, currently working for a company called Aspire USA, where we assist women and BIPOC entrepreneurs in putting together their plans and helping them grow. And with that, Bob, I will turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Lara. Thank you. So grateful to be working with Dan and Lara on these sessions. They're always so exciting. Speaking of which, so today we're really going to talk about reviving and repurposing retail space. I'm sure many of us as economic development leaders, obviously with what's happened over the past 20 months, have seen our businesses really struggling, whether on a main street, whether off the beaten path. But, you know, looking at a lot of empty stages, for lack of a better word, empty windows, empty spaces, you know, it's really hard to start to have conversations to fill these empty spaces when some of our communities aren't really sure about the direction we're headed, what our world and our community looks like over the next year still. There's so many up in the air concepts. So today I've invited Lisa Jowdery to be here, and I'm so excited because Lisa worked on a program well before COVID years ago called Renew New Tecumseh, or Renew New Tech, excuse me. And it's so pivotal a program that I was really, really sad that it didn't continue. But my hope is that Lisa and I are gonna share some of the experiences from that program for other economic development officers to really think about how can we reuse retail spaces that are showing dead, that are showing empty. Because you can imagine that's not the best look driving through a downtown when it, you know, looks like the set of Halloween 6 Michael Myers is shopping. So with that, I'm gonna ask Lisa, do you mind doing a little bit of intro of your experience, who you are, and then we'll get right into the conversation. Would that be okay? Oh, I think you're on mute, Lisa.
There we go. There. Sorry. Sorry about that. This all started out of New Tecumseh. And prior to this, I had done my own company that helps people clean the credit reports, the first one in Canada, actually, years prior. And the disappointing thing was that, not disappointing, because I was married to my husband who was military, but we got moved around a lot. So I was part of an amazing project, and then we'd be posted, and then I'd have to decide, you know, were we going to live separately? Would I, you know, have to shut down, which I had to, my company? And then when we got posted to the Borden area, that's where the mayor, Mike McEachran, had asked for the someone to help with trying to fill up those downtown empty storefronts. And what they had thought it was going to be was totally different from what I actually developed it into. And with some of the previous conversations that we had just at the beginning regarding, you know, could we be doing, you know, gaming or esports, there's no limitation to what you can do with empty downtown storefronts if the town is willing and the owners of the buildings are willing. It's a very successful and very beneficial project to start.
Amazing. So let's start with what the program was, Renew New Tech. So from my recollection, as you had said, Mayor McEachran, we used to call him Mayor Mike, was looking for these retail spaces. So how do you even start this idea out? Was there already a concept of let's put artists in there? Was it more along the lines of let's rent it out super cheap? How did your process start when you were thinking, how do I fill these retail spaces?
Yeah, so it was actually through a Trillium grant that the mayor had gotten to be able to get someone come in and then develop this idea of wanting to fill those up. And out of that, those three organizations that came together to be part of that Trillium grant was the Focus organization that helps people find jobs. It was the Arts Council that was there locally, and then also the Futures program that ran out of the area. None of them, even though it was the arts program, none of them were thinking that it was going to be started off with a huge pop-up shop for artists. But I felt when I was beginning to put together all the factors and all the information and the status of the town, that this would be the greatest way for us to start the excitement. Mm-hmm. And so we did do that. We got together all the artists that were originally working out of a small theater area and put them out onto Main Street.
Sorry, Lisa, I'm just going to add some context. My apologies. So the town is actually based in a rural community in Ontario, Canada. The Futures organization is a federally funded organization that's designed to support entrepreneurs. Obviously, as you had said, South Simcoe Arts Council, which is designed to support artists. And the Trillium Grant is a provincially funded program for nonprofits. So I just wanted to give that context to our listeners so they can see the collaboration that you went through trying to bring all of these different people together. So please continue.
Yes. And thank you for that. I was just simplifying everything, and thank you for the clarification. So with that, I ended up finding all the owners of empty downtown storefronts. Now, the biggest hurdle at least in the time period that I was working in this environment, was that owners were getting tax refunds from property taxes if their places were empty. And so for many of the owners,
they had nobody in the space. They were actually getting money from the municipality.
Correct.
For having that space empty, which I think was a tax rebate.
Yes. And it's still, okay. Well, and it was something that I was actually trying to work on changing and should change. Because to me, in this environment for owners, especially if they own multiple buildings, which a lot of them do, is that it is more beneficial money-wise to get that tax rebate and not have to worry about damage to your store than it is to have a retailer come in or a company come in and take over your store and then be just a headache for however long they're going to be there for before they, you know, fail perhaps and then have to move out.
Lisa, how many of these people, these owners, were not local?
Okay, so... out of the percentage of all the owners in the downtown core of Alliston, it was approximately 65% were local and the remainder was out of town.
Okay, perfect. Please continue. Okay.
Which did make it easier in the context of because the owners were local, many of the owners in that, so. And when I say New Tecumseh, that's Alliston, Beaton, Tottenham. So very small communities, but very, very vibrant. And a lot of people engaged. And a lot of the buildings were owned by people that live locally. So they wanted good things to happen. So that's where I started. And I went to the owner of the store that we ended up... It was originally a lingerie store for like 30-some-odd years. And the big push for this for the owners that I did was, look, if this has been used as, say, a restaurant or as this lingerie shop for decades, no one who might have an idea in the back of their head about their company that they're working on out of their basement is going to think that this is going to fit for them. But the minute you put something else in there, it makes them see and be able to realize, oh, I could do that too. And that was the biggest push for entrepreneurs to come out of their homes or for entrepreneurs that were just thinking about starting a business to be able to see these stores being used for something different. And then also to see that someone can start out and become successful.
Brilliant. So from what I hear, what you're saying is the idea was to re-leverage that space but also make it more attractive for these owners to eventually get future tenants. Is that sort of?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because once you opened up that store to whatever it was that you put in there, whether it was the pop-up shop or whether it was an actual entrepreneur that was wanting to build their business, we still had signs in the windows that said, this space is still available. Come take a look.
So I imagine making it their own space, they beautified the space. They instead of an abandoned, dusty building,
correct.
Entrepreneurs were opening up a pop-up shop or creating a pop-up experience and beautifying the facade for the most part.
Right. So if we just, because I've skipped just over this proper.
Sorry,
Yeah, no problem. So I just want to get back to that just real quick. So what I was looking at wanting to do in a town and have it for across Ontario or even across Canada, because I was talking to other communities across Canada about this idea, is that the government officials within that town needed to have a limitation that said, look it, you are allowed to have your property taxes rebated for only 6 months unless you become part of this program. So if you become part of the Renew program, then you, because this was my suggestion to the town, because you are just going to encourage more and more owners to keep their places empty than fill them. So the idea is that you do get a rebate. You get a rebate as soon as your place has been, because there's a 3 month, you have to sit with it for 3 months before you can get the rebate. So as soon as you've had the 3 months, you then can apply for the rebate, and then you get the rebate for 6 months until you can fill it. If you can't fill it, then you need to allow the Renew program to come in You still then get to have your rebate while you have the Renew program within your store. If you refuse to do the Renew program, then you no longer get to have the rebate.
This was a decision by local municipal council, or this is what you were advocating for?
No, this is what I was advocating. It was not accepted yet.
Okay.
But my spouse was being posted again. So I had to walk away from the program. I handed it over to the local BIA, and sadly, they did not take it and run with it and continue with it, which is sad because from the time that I started the program to within 6 months of starting the program, I filled up 65% of the empty downtown storefronts.
Absolutely. I remember that too. So Lisa, I kind of want to jump back to when we talk about the people who are leveraging the space. And, you know, the topic here is about arts.
Only yes.
I think we started with pop-up art shops. Can you talk about some of the entrepreneurs that filled some of the spaces?
Yeah, so the first big event was the pop-up art shop. And I did that because I was going to be able to then grab statistics of how many people came into the storefront, tracking how popular this event was for just one weekend. And it was phenomenal. It blew everyone away. And it wasn't what the original plan was to do, but it was a great starting point. From there, the entrepreneurs that then came forth were several from that pop-up shop that saw how much exposure they could have. We ended up with three of them. One was an artist that started not just selling her paintings, but also running classes. Actually, I had another gentleman that was actually a senior citizen that thought he was in retirement, got excited about this program, and actually opened up an art studio because he used to be an artist and ran an art studio in Hungary. And he was all excited again about running classes. So he did that and opened up a place that was a real estate agency that had been empty for almost a year. Because again, the real estate agency had been there for decades. And he got in there and changed it all around to be formative for art classes and art supplies and selling of art pieces, his plus other people. And that was very good. As well as we had artists that were doing fiber art. We had a person that was doing candles and other supplies out of beeswax. And then just a little bit off the beaten path from the art portion was some really unique and interesting people. One did therapeutic yoga. And she had a beautiful, beautiful space and was having to turn people away because she didn't have enough room to run all the classes and because she had too many people interested in filling up what she was doing. And then also a lady that did a animal clothing / furniture / unique treats and food and toys storefront, and it was absolutely gorgeous. She had this beautiful couch where she'd invite all her customers to come in and have their pets sit up on the couch and have a nice visit while they were deciding what to buy. I also had a lady that started a first aid, and I believe that she's still active and has her first aid business in Alliston to this day, very successful doing safety and first aid for all the companies within the town. Three of those ladies, the yoga, the dog, or like the pet store, and the first aid, were all nominated as first year successful businesses for the town. And all three of them were run through my program. It was amazing to see females were the majority of the businesses that came out of this program and also how successful they became.
So that is phenomenal. So I'm curious, it almost sounds like Renew New Tech perhaps inadvertently became a little bit of an incubator for new business owners to test out a new idea, right? To bring it to the community and to see what that reaction would be, almost like a retail incubator.
Yes, absolutely. And we still continue to do pop-up shops though too.
Oh.
When we would have a empty downtown storefront that we couldn't get possibly, because again, when you see a place that's been a restaurant for years, you can't see it then as a clothing store. So in some cases, we would then put together another pop-up shop where we would have, you know, a multitude of different businesses within a place within a weekend to encourage, you know, foot traffic. We would have people coming up from Toronto to come and see what we were doing.
And which is phenomenal, because then you're creating attraction for the other businesses that are already still opened in the local community. So not only do these new businesses benefit, but the entire downtown as a whole benefits, which is amazing.
Right, exactly. And then from that as well, to encourage excitement, continued excitement, is that I created a TV special through Rogers called The Bullpen. And from that, we ended up garnering people from even out of the community to start businesses up. And we ended up getting a gentleman from Bradford that ended up winning the because it was built like a dragon's den. So we had people from the community that were business oriented. I'm forgetting what his name is.
No problem.
Rory McKinnon, who runs quite a few of the McDonald's in the area. A couple of other.
He has the Angus McDonald's. Yes.
Yes. Him as one of the judges, and several other people that were big in the community to be judges. And then we had these business people that hadn't yet started their businesses pitching to then get a whole bunch of prizes and be able to be put into a downtown storefront. And the gentleman from Bradford actually won the contest and ended up going into a storefront in Tottenham for a butcher shop, which never existed before.
That's amazing. So again, here we are having these dead retail spaces. We're filling them with you know, entrepreneur-based businesses, but now it sounds like you're evolving into getting more traditional businesses to fill the space, probably on a more regular basis. So what I'm curious to know, Lisa, is so as you're getting all of these pop-up shops and all of these entrepreneurs in, what was the investment for them? If I recall, it wasn't completely free. They did have to make some level of commitment, is that right?
Absolutely. And so the whole program was based upon it not having to be, so it was technically a nonprofit, but it made its money to pay for the time invested in doing the promoting and having someone that's going to be fielding the entrepreneurs, making sure that they are going to be supported. And so when an entrepreneur went into the space, they started to pay $25 a week. They'd also have to pay the utilities, but they paid $25 a week for the space to start. Mm-hmm. And then that would increment up over time. So then $50 a week, so then $75. At the same time that they're doing this and building their business, which allows them to get some profit in, allows them to then market their business, to then build it to be strong and supportive. At the same time, though, because that space was still available and the signage was still in the window saying this space is available if you want it, and we had it where there was two or three times where someone else came to us and said, hey, I'm interested in that space and I want it and I want to sign a lease. I don't want to even just there wouldn't be allowed to have another renewed person go in there. It would have to be a signed lease. So then we'd go back to the original person that was in that space under the renew program and say, look, we have someone that's wanting to have this space. You either sign a contract now or you have to get out.
Okay, so the renew participant could actually commit to the space before someone else.
Yes, that is correct.
So Lisa, let me just draw a picture of where we are right now. And by the way, friends in the room, please don't let me steal all of the spotlight. If you have a question, if you want to participate, please feel free to do so. But this program just gets me so excited. I'm always mourn its loss. So let me just reiterate what we're talking about here, Lisa. So you've got this rural community that's experiencing a high number of empty spaces, people driving through, they're seeing dead windows, maybe for lease signs, dusty windows. Anyone that's been on a main street knows that the character of the main street is as a whole, not as individual stores. You have this mayor that comes and says, hey, Lisa, I think we need to do something. How do I fill these spaces? And you come in and you make this amazing collaboration between a local business support agency, a provincial funding agency, and property managers, which any of us in economic development probably know, property managers aren't always the easiest to deal with. And you sort of come up with this concept to say, hey, what if we created almost pop-up or teaser opportunities where business owners or artists, let's say artist business owners, creative business owners, could go in, leverage the space. So now they're bringing the space back alive, right? They're reanimating the space. They're actually running their business. They're earning money. They are getting business support. And the property manager now has a building that's been reanimated. So it's almost acting as a, for lack of a better word, a lead funnel to get a more permanent tenant in there. This is where we're at now. Did I miss anything, Lisa? Is this sort of where we've gotten to at this point?
Absolutely. You have summed it up perfectly.
Yeah. So I love this. So, you know, now the question becomes, and it, hopefully you're comfortable sharing, how do you convince property managers to take that risk? You're going to a property manager and saying, hey, you have a dead space building. I'm telling the local community council that your tax rebates were probably going to be minimized. How do you get them on board? What do those conversations sound like?
So where I started first was with the owners that I knew lived locally that were involved very much in the community. And we had about five of them in the Alliston, Tottenham, Beaton area. We had five that were involved in the BIA. They were involved in, and a lot of them were, had their own businesses. So they knew in the downtown that the more empty stores, the less business they got. And the more the stores were filled, the better business they had. So I focused specifically on those five to start with some of their empty downtown storefronts, because they were also investors as well as business people. And to get them on board, because they were already halfway on board already. And once I presented the program that I designed, where there was no fault in what they had, so they would have their utilities paid, which they were paying already, because you have to keep the heat on in the winter. You have to have some sort of lights kept going. So they had to pay at least the minimum. Now this was being covered for them. They were still getting their rebate on their property taxes, because it wasn't a permanent person going in there. It was a contract between Renew and the renter, not between the owner. And then the owner was able to see their space cleaned up, usually painted, and it was all done for free, because usually that doesn't always happen in bartering a lease deal. And they loved the idea of having someone that basically was looking after their space, because I actually had one owner that said they had flooding, and if only they had had someone in there, the damage wouldn't have been near as bad. So to have someone that's caretaking their space, and the owner doesn't have to worry about them because the Renew program is taking care of that, and with the hope that that business becomes successful, which it did. We had, out of every Renew person that went into a space, we had an 80% sign-on rate to a lease, to a long-term lease, mm-hmm. which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And so once I got these owners involved and got them on board, then I'd go to the ones that were the really difficult ones. And there was one gentleman that everyone told me, you're never going to get him. He is too difficult. He knows how to make money, and he doesn't want to deal with the bullshit of renters or like lease agreements. And unless it's a restaurant or something that he feels is going to be a sure thing, he's not going to do it. And I'll just use his first name. His name is Andy. And I said, okay, challenge accepted. And I won him over. And he ended up having, out of the five storefronts that were empty of his, I ended up getting into three of them. And out of those three, two people signed on leases with him.
That's amazing.
Once I had him, yes. And go so ahead. Once I had him, then I could go and take all my statistics of all these. And I had just like a one-page sheet of the success and the statistics. And then I started sending it out to all the owners that were out of town, that were not invested in the town at all. And I ended up starting to get some of those using the program as well.
I imagine it's quite an attractive thing. So right now your technique was really great at bringing in new businesses and sort of stimulating that local economy. But I imagine as a property owner, if I'm looking for new commercial buildings, to know that there's a community that actually takes the time to participate in these programs.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Bob.
Yeah, go ahead.
I actually had one owner that was kind of hesitant. He decided that, sure, I'll let you do one. And he actually had, so his building was on this main street. All his main storefront, like sidewalk stores, were filled. But he had a whole bunch of space upstairs that wasn't storefront, but was still on the main street. And he had, four out of 10 that he had up there that were empty. And when he started hearing about the program, he's like, oh, I'll give you one of my spaces, just one. And once that, and that was the one that was the first aid one that went in, because she didn't need to have storefront. She just needed to be on, she just wanted to be on the main street. And as soon as she went in and she was so successful and signed a lease, as soon as one of his, he gave us access to all his other empty places, but as soon as one of his long-term leases left, he would call us first, because he knew that I had, you know, all these resources of what this space would be good for and what we could put in there. And we put in tons of people that were counselors and therapists and people that were doing, we had one guy that went in there that did movie development. And he says, I usually do this out of my basement, but I was finding that I wasn't dedicating my time when I was at home. I needed to have a space to get away and work. And so he got involved in the program. It's a great way to get started, you know, without having a lot of investment and commitment in place. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of unusual businesses came out of offering that kind of opportunity for people.
That, you know, businesses that may not have come out of the woodwork, or worse, would have gone to a different community to start up. I love it. So, and again, I want to remind our audience, please don't let me hog the stage. If you have questions specific to your community, please come up and ask them. Absolutely. Barry, good to see you here. I did invite you to the stage. So Lisa, I have a few more questions, obviously, but listen, I want to, for our audience here, especially those listening on the podcast, I want to share your successes. So I hope you don't mind. I pulled up an old Renew New Tech report.
Oh,
and,
thanks.
Yeah. And so I want to share some of the actual successes that you had. So, you know, in 28 months, the program for the most part ran for 28 months. You received 10 long-term leases with 9 different owners, 14 empty storefronts acquired from 9 different business owners. The time frame to fill a space on average was only 59 days.
Yep.
And 15 new businesses started, with 11 of them still operating, 2 within the New Tech program, 5 signed long-term leases, and 4 are operating, began operating on their own outside of the New Tech program. That's just some of the, oh, here's some more, sorry. Generated roughly $600 per month on average in fees. Capital investments were over $72,000. Downtown rejuvenation led to anchor stores coming up, leading to a 20% increase in sales and foot traffic in that downtown. Mm-hmm. And then development time and cost took about 8 months and only $50K. And I'm saying only $50K because we know, you know, the costs for economic development office delivery programs.
Right.
Phenomenal. Like, you know, phenomenal for something that was very grassroots. So what I want to know from you is, Lisa, you know, you shared your collaborative techniques, you shared the ways that you talked to property managers. In your opinion, what really led to the success of this program? So if I come and say, Lisa, I want to do the same program in Stouffville, Ontario, or in RD, Alberta, what things should I consider that's going to lead to the success that helped you get to that success level?
So I actually had that question asked of me when I started being asked to speak at different BIA events, which I was, the international BIA back in, I think it was 2014. I can't remember now, out of Ottawa. I was asked to speak there. And then that got, and also just the TV show actually helped as well for the other communities to say, hey, why can't we do this where we are? And I said, yes, of course you can. So I actually developed the program and I called it Renew Your Town. And I sold that program to several other organizations, like several other towns, before I left. To
basically allow you to just walk through and all the things you just needed to do to make this happen. And, but the synopsis of that is to first off, make sure you have your BIA totally involved in wanting to have that kind of program in place. Because sadly, when I left the program with the new tech BIA, they just dropped the ball and just let it go. Sadly. Even though I did the training and provided the support, it just did not come to fruit. It didn't continue. Other communities, though, kept doing it after the fact. Yes, it is. So having the BIA involved and on board and supporting the program and running it. Secondly, what you need is to have at least 1 to 3 owners of buildings be able to be on board as well so that you can get a good start in the activity. You don't need anything more than that, just 1 to 3. That's all you need, because once you get that 1 to 3, you're going to be able to build that momentum of success and have it be able to then grow from there, because everybody else wants to be on board. From there, garnering really great, and this will take marketing portions. So if you have a futures program within your community or a job finding organization, you need to partner with them. So then that way they are the ones that are finding or helping to find the original group of businesses. If, and again, I used to be a mentor for Summer Company until I went to New Brunswick where they didn't have it.
And Summer Company, for our folks listening, that's our youth program designed to help youth start a business over the summer with some funding so that they can test and launch their idea.
Absolutely. So partnering with something like that, as well as the partnering with any kind of incubators that help with small business to get those people to come out of their homes and take a chance on downtown. The huge thing now, though, and I was thinking back about this when you invited me to do this, Bob, is that how are you going to overcome right now this everybody working from home because of COVID?
Right.
And big companies wanting to encourage that working from home. So what is that downtown storefront going to look like now? But I still feel very strongly overseeing when we finally allow these restrictions, when we are no longer in lockdown, the downtown core is busy. We want those connections. As much as we complain about being around other people, we still want and need those connections. And I still feel that storefronts are necessary for our mental and emotional health to interact with people physically, not just electronically. And so I really feel that it's still a great opportunity for, you know, small business to be out where they can be seen.
Well, I think to your point, physical spaces create community. And I think we all create connection and community as humans. It's really, you know, difficult to break away from that, for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Amazing. So, Lisa, let's try this one now from your point of view. You've sort of shared the elements of the program that have worked and sort of the challenges that you have. Let's say someone comes to you today and says, Lisa, we want to launch this program. In, you know, we're looking at a post-COVID world for the most part. Maybe that's not the right term. So what do we need to change, or what do we really need to think about as economic development officers? You've mentioned work from home, for example. To make a program like this more impactful. Your program was launched in 2012, ran to 2015. Yep. Now we're here in 2021. Do you have any advice for economic development officers listening so that if they want to do a similar program, what should they be aware of now in 2021?
I would absolutely do more of a push towards pop-up shops than I did in 2015, because pop-up shops are a little less commitment for the people that are being the artists or the business owners or whoever's being involved. Plus, it sparks excitement. And in this COVID world where we might be locked down tomorrow, having a pop-up shop happen just over a weekend is a very, very quick and easy way to create excitement in the downtown core and get the entrepreneurs excited at what potential there could be having exposure in a downtown storefront. And I know for a fact that out of Newcastle, Australia, again, years ago, but they actually created continual pop-up shops throughout their downtown core year-round. Now, of course, this is out of Australia, so they're not dealing with a winter exposure. Again, things tend to fall off when it's colder out. But to have perpetual pop-up shops happening all the time, so there's constant change up in interest, where the person that's going into that pop-up shop is only allowed to stay there for, say, 2 weeks, or say stay there for 4 weeks. That creates interest for people to want to get out of their house and go check out the downtown core. And that would be my suggestion moving forward with empty downtown spaces, is to create them more as pop-up shops in the interim until COVID becomes less impactful, or at least becomes more stable in what we're dealing with.
I love that idea, this idea of really reanimating our downtowns on a regular basis as opposed to on occasion.
Yes, exactly.
Amazing, amazing. So again, I want to make sure that our audience is aware, if you have any questions particular to your community or thoughts that you want to share, this is a great time for Lisa. We've got Lisa now. And while we're waiting for questions, Lisa, Jimmy, please do.
Yeah, I'll jump in and just ask sort of, where do you find these people to do the pop-ups? I know you've been talking about, you've been kind of, you know, people call and you're kind of keeping a list, but do you find that it's difficult to find people to do pop-ups?
No, I didn't in, and I don't know what it's like post-COVID, but pre-COVID, I did not have any problems whatsoever. There were a few artists that inquired, or I would hear about them, so I'd call them and say, hey, we want you to be part of this. And they'd be, I'm shy and I'm this. And I said, but this is the perfect opportunity because you have the support of others. You're not doing this on your own. And there's always ways when you're dealing with any sort of creative endeavor, there's always ways to find a twist to be able to position yourself to encourage them to join. It could just be me, but I always can find that little piece that gets them to come forward to say, okay, sure, I'll give it a try. Because you always want to find where their, what's the word I'm looking for? Not their weakness, but like where it is that they're hooked on saying no. And for you to then be able to overcome and say, but you know, if you're shy, then you have other people supporting you. Oh, you don't have time? Well, you could always ask your son to help with, you know, setting this up. Because he's a teenager and, you know, he could be the one that mans it if you're busy at home. There's always a hook that you can get those, especially artistic people, to come out of their shell and to be able to try this new opportunity to see what they're missing.
Does that answer your question, Jimmy?
Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
There seems to be a level of mentorship in everything you do, Lisa, with this program, whether it's business mentorship, whether it's just really helping with confidence. I'd sort of love to get an idea of what the Renew New Tech community felt like. And I know that's such a broad question, but you know, here we are talking about revitalizing dead spaces, reanimating them properly with pop-up charts with art. But you're doing more than that. You're actually creating connection and community. And I know that you had said that the Bay wasn't able to continue the program after your departure. So I'm wondering, in terms of economic developers listening now, what advice could you give them to continue to allow this community to flourish, to continue to ensure it's encouraged? What are the dynamics we should encourage and stay away from to build an effective community like you did?
Right. So once you get, you may need to have someone, if you're starting to develop this program, you may need to have someone commit a full year, full-time work, just to get it up and off the ground, depending on the size of your community. If it's a fairly small one, 30,000 population or under, you could probably do someone that would be part-time just to commit. And again, that could be your BIA person, depending upon how long they've been in the, you know, the position, how smoothly everything is working. And then they could just take this as a side project to then concentrate on getting this built up. Once it gets going, though, the flow of it really just kind of generates itself. And from the money that is generated from the program, say you have 5 empty downtown storefronts being filled, and each of those 5 people are paying $25 a week, you then have someone that could be a part-time promotional developer for the Renew program. And the money that's generated from filling the downtown storefronts pays for their wages to be able to do the work that they need and just the promotion and the little bit of support that's needed to get them going.
Definitely makes sense. So you've got an advocate. Essentially, the goal is to make sure we have an advocate. That's
right. Yes, that's correct. And again, it depends upon your BIA person. And in some cases, if you have a large enough community, they might have an assistant that's doing, you know, the everyday stuff. And so those two people working together to develop the program and then just keep it running would just be... again, I would say if you're dealing with a population of 30,000, you would need maybe 15 to 20 hours a week, maybe, and even less, depending upon how everything's flowing and how much generation. Of course, part of this is always making sure that you're doing grand openings for these new businesses. You're really putting it out there and doing your press releases to promote that, you know, renewed business and the excitement of bringing in whatever, you know, new cultures. One of the things just off topic that I want to point out is I figured that we would be getting, when we started this program, that we would be getting possibly people that wanted to start a restaurant and that we would be getting people that would want to start like very expected businesses within the downtown core, clothing shops, perhaps, you know, selling of collectibles, things like that. And what shocked me the most was that we got the most unusual collection of businesses and ideas that didn't even occur to me would want to have a downtown storefront. And that was the most exciting part about it, because these were businesses that would never have come to fruition if we didn't have that program in place.
I love the idea that assume, other than our BRP data, we presume you know, what spaces should be in there. So with that, Lisa, I'm going to ask you one final question before I do. I know Lara has to leave for a meeting, but I'm just going to share with our audience to, you know, we are running all week, so I want to share what we've got coming up tomorrow, and then we're going to come back to Lisa for a final question. Lara, did you want to run it, or can I for you? What's easier?
No, go ahead and jump in.
Okay, because I know you got to run. So tomorrow we're actually, we got a great topic. Lara and Dan will be here. I won't be, talking about how will foreign FDI adapt post-pandemic, led by one of our wonderful regular contributors, Alia Abia. And I believe Alia has some guests coming as well. So a really great topic around foreign FDI. And on Friday, we have the IEDC conference debrief. So we've got our friend Ryan, who's actually at the conference, who's going to share some of his experience, what he heard, what he learned, and sort of that, all of that with us. We have an open calendar for tomorrow. We may or may not, for Thursday, we may or may not run a session, but you'll find out tomorrow. We'll keep that as a special surprise. Oh, why don't we do that? So hopefully I haven't missed anything. So all of our episodes are going to be 12 noon, right here on Clubhouse, Wednesday at noon. Did I miss anything? Oh, Lara's already gone, so there you go. Lisa, this has been a wonderful discussion. Before my final question, you know, we've got economic development officers probably listening on the podcast. If they want to engage you and get more information, more detail, learn more about it, what's the best way for them to reach you? By LinkedIn, by email? What's the best?
Oh, the best is email.
Okay.
And for right now, my email is just my personal one. So okay. It's M as in Mike, Lisa, LISA, _66@hotmail.com. And I can give my phone number out as well if they would rather contact me directly.
That's okay. It's a recording going on the internet. Oh, so why don't we just leave it?
No problem. Email. Just email is fine.
Just this email. Okay. So really, here's the fight. So here's, you know, sort of the summary of everything that I'd love to get from you is, you know, we've got this program, we've got empty spaces. You've sort of collaborated among all of these agencies in the local community to fill these spaces using local businesses. What came out of it was some amazing results, both monetarily, both community-centric, et cetera. And, you know, we've really talked about how to adapt maybe this program, which was run in 2012 to 2015, how do we consider post-COVID iterations as well? So here's my last question to you, and I don't know if this is going to work or not, but we have occasional conversations around leveraging downtown spaces almost as co-work facilities, where we can get multiple service-based or multiple knowledge-based businesses in there. So when we talk about Renew New Tech and leveraging spaces, leveraging people in those spaces to animate it, does it work when you've got a co-work space, when you've got sort of professional businesses, or do you need something that is product or service based, something you can showcase to the world outside using the windows?
No, it can be anything. From what I've learned, because again, the expectations that I originally came in with thinking what would be the things going in, it surprised me what the variety was. Anything can work. Anything. So it doesn't matter what it is that you're thinking of putting in there.
Amazing. Thank you, Lisa, so much for dedicating and volunteering your time today.
No problem.
So grateful. I hope anyone listening on the recording or anyone who was live with us reaches out to Lisa. An amazing program to consider for any of your communities, whether urban, whether rural. And I know Lisa's the right person because one thing she hasn't talked about, because I think Lisa struggles with being humble, is able to make a program work. I remember the time, Lisa, that had a lot of pushback because it was so new for its time. So,
yes.
You know, if you're in a community that you're thinking, I don't think I can get people on board, I would highly suggest you reach out to Lisa for that
yes.
info. And I want to thank all of our audience members for participating and joining in today. And of course, those listening on the recording, thank you for listening. And everyone, enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you again, Lisa.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Lisa. That was great. Thanks, Bob. Great job. Nice to see you, Jimmy.